All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Awesome. Take two. Mark.
Set up.
And
action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
What's up?
So, something to tease the audience.
Yeah.
Same way I'm making you wait.
Oh, man.
They're going to have to wait until we get to the section called Listener's Notes.
Oh, my goodness.
Every week we get lots of comments from our beloved listeners.
Yeah.
Every week I wish there was more, but there's always plenty. This week we have a first.
Mm, a very first.
A very first. We received via the mail.
So this wasn't just left here. This came in the mail.
The mail in an envelope with a very pretty stamp that says Eid greetings. What's that? That's like the, it's a sacred holiday in, what, I'm blanking on the major, one of the world's biggest religions.
Can I see it?
I'm completely blanking. It's not Judaism. It's not Christianity. Islam. It's a huge Islamic holiday.
It's
called Eid, I believe. And my friend Khaled Brevli told me about Eid. And so now we have a letter, apparently totally unrelated, but just it's neat because there's a Eid greeting stamp on it. And in the letter, in the envelope,
is handwritten.
And I can't wait to tell you all about it because there's a lot to cover.
Okay. All right. I'm so pumped.
So leading off, we have some slight personal news.
Big news.
It's been really nice the last 8 weeks or so. Our very favorite number one listener of all time.
Who's that?
Marley Madison Ketchum.
Oh, my God.
Shout out to Marley Bear. She's heading back to complete her junior year at University of Delaware. Oh, so we wish her all the very best. Shout out. By the time she's listening to this, well, that's not true because she will be, she'll listen to this before she actually leaves. Mm. But she's heading back and good luck to you, kid. Wish you all the very best.
I'm curious when she's going to start a Penn Cinema podcast study group. It's what do they call? What do they call them? Not the study group, but extracurricular.
Right, club.
A club. That's it. Yeah.
I think that unlike you and me, I think that she's a pretty stellar student. I think she does her homework, and I think she preps for class. And
she's got it going on.
Right. So she don't have time to be fooling around with no club. Penn Cinema Podcast Club.
Oh, man.
Although its initials would be PCPC.
PCPC.
And imagine if it was politically correct. PCPCPC.
PCPCPC.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, good luck,
PC,
kid.
PCPC.
Moving into the movie news.
Yeah.
We're starting with last week, we had the unfortunate passing of Kobe Bryant.
Mm.
It's very sad.
Yeah.
This week, we have another passing, not quite as sad.
Mm.
And I predicted this.
What?
Sometimes I get it right.
Yeah.
Can we acknowledge that?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
I mean, sometimes.
All right. Now, have we talked about this on record on the show? What I'm alluding here to is that this week, MoviePass and its parent company Helios filed Chapter 7 bankruptcy because they had, and I quote, no viable plan for moving forward.
Mm.
So MoviePass is officially rest in peace. 6 feet under.
It was a good idea, except for it wasn't a good idea. It was a good idea for everyone who wasn't MoviePass.
Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What do you think about that?
I mean, it's not surprising.
Right.
Totally unsustainable. I tried MoviePass and I tried, what was the other one? I don't remember. There was another one that came out shortly after that was a little bit more sustainable. but didn't quite work out.
This what MoviePass did is actually going to turn out to be a good thing for moviegoers because they raised the issue of subscriptions. So it doesn't work as a blanket, blind, you know, obviously the MoviePass model is dead. But it, what it did was it prompted the larger chains who were able to do it quicker than the smaller independent circuits like Penn Cinema. But it prompted everybody to look at that concept of subscription models.
Yeah.
And we are working on it. Regal and AMC already have theirs. Penn Cinemas will debut in 2020. Oh. I don't know exactly when, and I don't want to get into details about it. But it turns out that it takes an incredible amount of work. And it's an incredibly tricky thing to pull off. You don't just sort of plug in a... You don't download a software program and add it to your point-of-sale machine and start ringing it up.
Right.
So I love to make fun of MoviePass. I predicted it ever since the beginning. Like, I knew from day one that it wasn't real. It never bothered me. People always thought that I hated it or had some problem with it. I loved MoviePass because we got paid in full. I don't know if everybody sort of knows that, but, you know, that was one of the reasons why it wasn't sustainable, is because every time you got your fifth movie ticket for $4,
yeah,
I was still getting, you know, my full ticket price from, from MoviePass. So anyway, I do think we should give them a little bit of love, because what they did, although they failed for their own agenda, but what they did was move, I think, the movie business forward a little bit
with
this topic of subscriptions. So
yeah, I know many people who do the AMC and stuff who live in New York, and
and
it's totally awesome.
It's a good thing.
Yeah.
It's a good thing. And especially, you know, because we love the regular moviegoers, you know, and so it makes perfect sense. So I'm on board with the concept. And anyway, so it's official. Mark your calendar. MoviePass out.
All right. This is some different news. It's not like it's that big, but I thought it was interesting. Christopher McQuarrie, the director of the next two Mission Impossibles, and I think the last two, right?
That's what they're saying, July of 21 and August of 22.
Right. So he hinted at on Twitter, and then it wound up being confirmed, that Henry Czerny, I'm probably saying that wrong, Czerny, will return to the Mission Impossible series as Eugene Kitteridge. Now, this is the character from the first movie that went after, he worked for the MI and he chased after Tom Cruise when he thought he was Rogue. So now the first one was much more, was closer to the show, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I believe.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that while the series is way past what the show was in far as far as like scope and craziness, you know, that they're bringing back this character that was based in that realm. So I think that's interesting to see how he'll fit back in.
It's funny, in reading this headline, like I'm sure it did for most people, it prompted me to sort of go back and look a little bit at some of the old Mission Impossible movies. And I was reminded how much I love them, how much, you know, they're insane. And some of the stunts, and Tom Cruise doing his own stunts, as we've talked about a million times, but just so cool. And this feels like a good headline to me. This feels like, you know, it's kind of like when an aging rock band that is still touring, and then they sort of announce, hey, guess what? The original bass player is on tour with us this summer. Like, it feels like that, you know, like, hey, we're getting the band back together, putting together some of the original parts. And it's, I will admit, like, no, if you had asked me the guy's name or his character's name, I wouldn't have come up with either one. Mm-hmm. But just seeing his face and some of the pivotal roles that he played in earlier on, it's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, good for you.
Those movies, as good as they are, they're so dated.
Oh, yeah.
They're so incredible. Like, even just film-wise, like, the first two look like they're on film, you know. Yeah. We're used to the digital stuff, and then you get to, was it the second or the third one, the John Woo one? It's so late 90s, early 2000s.
It's just the one where he's tearing off his face all the time.
It's like the first,
I know
it's the second one. I think he does that a lot.
He's done that. I know it's sort of throughout the whole franchise, but there was one particular movie where it was like the whole, you know, it was on again, off again the whole movie. It drove me nuts because it felt cheap.
Mm-hmm. Philip Seymour Hoffman in the third one.
Oh, yeah.
He's great. Anyway, a little bit more news about Mission Impossible. Hayley Atwell aka Peggy Carter from Captain America and the Peggy Carter series and
Ant-Man.
Avengers. Yeah, Ant-Man. She joins a role undisclosed in the next two movies.
Clearly, she's going to be a bad guy because she tweeted out, "I accept a mission, ... although I'm not one to follow rules."
Oh,
so she's girl. Yeah. So she's either a bad guy or she's just going to her character is going to be like some kind of uppity, crazy spy who you know,
right?
Yeah, like a maverick. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just like Tom Cruise is a maverick.
What?
What? Du, 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 du.
Tom right. Cruise is busy. I'd like to see his daily planner. Can you imagine?
He is busy.
Can you imagine? I mean, he's busy with some of the biggest franchises of all time. How old is he now? He's in his 50s or 60s?
Yeah, he's
something
in his
like
50s
that?
Or maybe 60s.
Jesus Christ, David. Yeah. I'm almost in my 50s.
Oh, my word.
God, we're going to have to talk about that later.
How many movies are you making this
Oy
year?
Vey.
What kind of stunts are you doing?
I'm just trying to make a cup of coffee and get through my day. And this guy's, you know, jumping off of helicopters.
My word.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Although I did have a beautiful thing this morning. I did a run, 12-mile run.
Okay.
Nice, good run. Good, solid, healthy run. I did the entire thing before the sun came up.
I saw the photo you put on Insta.
It was beautiful because it was one of those skies where the clouds were thick and it looked like the cloud was like a blanket. Like you could see the land on the horizon, like where we live, you know, where I run, there's a lot of cornfields. So you get big horizons and you can see like the horizon of the land and then a thin gray sky and then like a white dark, like a darker gray lining. It looks like the sky put a blanket over. Oh, it's just beautiful. It was absolutely the most gorgeous run I've had in a long time.
You know what I saw? What I thought to myself when I saw your photo? I thought, this guy is perpetuating the quintessential dad meme where Super Bowl's going to be on and you're going to be... like asleep at 7:30.
Totally. Totally.
Because you were out running at 5:30 in the morning.
Hashtag every day. Yeah. The girls will tell you, I fall asleep in the living room watching TV at night all the time. Like it's every day they kick me. I'm going upstairs. Wake up, Dad. We're going upstairs. Classic. All right. So I'm no Tom Cruise, but I'm still moving.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not dead yet.
Yeah, you're moving and shaking, that's for sure. All right, Paul Rubens.
Oh, my God. Can we just skip this one? Can we just please?
I mean.
This is the worst news of the week. This makes me so uncomfortable and disturbed.
Yeah. So, Paul Rubens, a.k.a. Pee Wee Herman.
Wasn't he arrested for wanking in the.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then the first movie he did after that, I think, was a superhero movie. It was, what was it? Why can't I think of it? It's like Underdogs or, shoot, everyone's screaming at us right now.
And no, his, nobody's screaming at me because.
His character was.
First of all, I was done with the guy with Pee Wee Herman. And then when this whole thing happened, I was double done. And now he wants to make it cool.
William H. Macy was in that movie?
Talk about revisionist history.
Oh, my word. Okay.
I'm triple done. Triple.
Paul Rubin wants to make a gritty Pee Wee Herman movie that he's been writing since the 90s. All right. Here he goes. Here's the synopsis that makes no sense to the Pee-wee character.
Oh my God.
It's like, is this Pee-wee Herman or is this just you?
You had me at gritty. It's going to be like the Dark Knight all over again.
Gonna be the next Joker.
Tell me Christopher Nolan's directing. Todd Phillips.
Okay. Begins with Pee-wee getting out of prison. Then he becomes an unlikely yodeling star.
Is this a biopic?
I know, that's what I'm saying. Then he becomes an unlikely yodeling star.
As opposed to the more obvious yodeling stars. Yeah,
the likely yodeling stars. Right. He moves to Hollywood and becomes a movie star.
Oh my God.
Where he develops a severe pill and alcohol addiction that turns him into a monster. He also gets sent to a mental hospital for shock treatment for his alcoholism. You're struggling over there. You don't know what to do.
Wake me when it's over. This is awful.
I cannot wait for this movie to come out to make you see it.
Stop it. You are not going to watch this movie. I forbid it.
I'm going to watch it because I'm going to be making you watch it.
Okay. I will talk about this movie for another 4 seconds and then we're done. Who's directing and who's the studio? That's all I want to know.
They don't know. Are you serious?
Or is this one of those things? What story did we talk about a number of weeks ago where, remember the guy was like, I'm not refusing to play the next Bond? Or like he put something out there. It was totally ridiculous. Like, and then you were making the joke like Penn Ketchum has no comment on whether or not he's the next Bond.
Yeah.
Remember that? Mm-hmm. It was like kind of a funny thing. And I feel like this is kind of like that. Like Paul Rubens got drunk and posted something on the interwebs about, you know, his movie idea. And the media, including us, is too stupid to like keep scrolling. So instead, it's so ridiculous that we report it.
I have a little bit more on this.
Okay.
Okay, the last movie he made recently, last Pee-wee that came out, he made for $30 million on
and
Netflix.
And it grossed?
I don't know.
Oh, because it was Netflix.
It was Netflix.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Match made in heaven. He should get Adam Sandler to make this movie. That would be the perfect pairing.
Uncut Gems revenge.
Uncut Gems. No, I'm talking Adam Sandler can add this to his list of shitty Netflix movies he agreed to make.
Remember after he got snobbed, he said, I'm going to do the worst movie.
Yeah. Right. No, this is absolutely right. Right. This is the perfect revenge.
So Netflix and the director of The Last Pee-wee Herman have turned him down.
But Stop it. Stop. You are making this up.
You're telling me that
this knucklehead got turned down already by Netflix.
And the last director who did
Stop
Last Pee Wee Herman.
It.
And apparently he wanted to do this before, but the last movie, the director's like, let's go a little bit lighter. So
that's why
they did that movie. And he says that he thinks he can do it for $15 million and not 30. And he's there's someone apparently interested, a fan that will give him $10 million from the UK. Now, he said he has a lot of content, he has a lot of investors that are interested, but he said, and this is a quote, in Hollywood, you can have a lot of people interested in $5, which really only equates to you having $5.
All right, that's pretty good. Yeah. I like that line. Yeah. I've experienced that. I have lived that.
Yeah.
But, okay, so podcast@penncinema.com. I want to hear from you if there is something I am overlooking that I need to somehow give Paul Rubens more respect.
Okay.
If I'm missing something, podcast@penncinema.com, if there's something that I'm overlooking and I'm being overly harsh, but this feels to me like 5 minutes of my life I'm never going to get back.
Nope. You can imagine any time news of this comes up, I'm putting it on here.
All right, speaking of horrible ideas. Now, this one we might actually get people writing in, trying to defend. Mm. But there's word on the interwebs that there's remakes in the works for The Crow and Green Hornet.
Yeah.
Why?
That's what I thought.
Why, God?
Are you a Crow fan?
No, I mean, no. I'm not, whatever, but no, I'm not.
A lot of people love The Crow, and I don't get it. I've never gotten it. Even when I was at the age where like The Crow should have appealed to me, I just never, it just didn't.
I wonder if that's because it wasn't like, I don't even remember like, was it that bad or did it just not strike a chord? I forget. Were they bad movies?
Kind of. Well, the big thing was it the first or second one that the guy died making it?
Oh, right.
Bruce Lee's son.
Right.
I think it was just very goth. And I guess like, it just didn't hit my goth phase. You know?
Did you have a goth phase?
I mean, I had a punk phase.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What'd you look like when you were in your punk phase?
Oh, man.
Did you get the mohawk?
No. I was the quintessential reversal punk. While all my friends went grunge and long, shaggy 90s hair,
yeah,
I wore suits and ties and instead of a backpack, I had a briefcase in school, and that was my punk thing. Like, I'd show up to like the mosh pits and like suits and stuff.
Awesome.
And yeah, that was my little thing.
I remember you talking about the briefcase before.
Yeah, I started a trend. Some kids followed after me on that one.
Me and Amy are watching Mrs. Maisel like crazy. And she goes on the road with this musician, Shy Baldwin. And her manager, Susie, is the funniest. She's my favorite part of the show. She travels with a suitcase. She shows up to go on tour with a gigantic paper bag full of her clothes. Mrs. Maisel says, you got to have a suitcase. So for the rest of it, it's like an ongoing gag. She opens up her suitcase and takes out a paper bag. I picture you like with your briefcase and then you take out a knapsack, yeah, like a backpack.
That's basically, yeah. Yeah.
Did
yeah.
you carry like Star Wars figures with you and stuff?
No, like my school books.
Yeah.
It was like a decently sized.
Were you a good briefcase. Student?
Yeah, I was all right.
You're right.
I wasn't like straight right. A's or anything, yeah. But. I did okay.
You know, honor roll like me.
Yeah, not like you. I worked it out to my senior year. I had like two classes I had to do.
That's smart.
Unfortunately, they were one a semester, so I still had to go to school.
All right. So now, can we shift towards actual people making actual movies that people care about?
Well.
That I care about.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
This next piece of news feels a little self-serving to me. Why don't you walk us through it?
Okay. George Lucas is willing to return to the Star Wars franchise under Disney should the company grant him full creative control over the franchise, which includes the fact that he wants to bring Dave Filoni on board as his right-hand man. Now, I'm cool with the Dave Filoni part because he has done a lot of great stuff.
Sure.
Mandalorian, all the animated stuff is really great. It's all under him. George Lucas, having full control, give him a movie or something. He doesn't need full control again. Although, they haven't done so great without him. Just saying.
I'm just going to let that last comment sit.
We look back at the prequels, right?
Right.
And then we look at these sequels here.
Yeah. I'm not fully prepared to argue with you because I feel like Lucas, genius that he is, I'm not arguing whether or not he's a genius.
Yeah.
And I'm not arguing whether or not he's one of the best movie makers of all time. Clearly he is. Clearly he's one of the, certainly, put it this way, he's one of the top best storytellers of all time ever. So I'm not trying to take away anything from his status as legend. But it feels a little bit like somebody who doesn't know when to let go. Somebody who doesn't know when to, for better or worse, let something sort of proceed without you.
Here's what, I mean, yes, you're right.
And so maybe they've had their struggles. I'm sorry to interrupt. We'll come right to your thought here. But maybe they've had their struggles. But those struggles are a normal thing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like you're going to have that.
I think he needs a little bit more time.
Away?
Yeah.
Okay.
But at the same time, this is what I see. I saw before he was a guy pushed to constantly create more and out of ideas, right?
Okay.
Then he finally let it go.
Okay.
Because before nobody else could touch it.
Right.
He finally let it go and he let other people mess around in it. And now he's seen where it could go. He probably has ideas again. So maybe he can come back and be like, okay, now I'm like more rejuvenated because I opened up to like other people actually contributing.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good point.
That like now I kind of have my thoughts together as to where I really would want to see something happen. But I think he needs a little bit more time. I mean, it hasn't been that long. It feels like it's been forever, but that's only because they've been pumping out Star Wars nonstop.
I think you make a really good point, and that makes a lot of sense. I also think that if Disney announces there's a Star Wars movie coming out from George Lucas, it automatically becomes one of the top grossing movies of all time.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially after their
Unless couple. Some shitty fanboy, David,
who
wants to poo-poo it from the get-go.
What? Huh?
If you want to undermine the success.
It's not like it's a Rian Johnson film.
Okay.
All right, give me this.
All right,
one.
Blumhouse.
Mm-hmm.
which, by the way, has Blumhouse's Fantasy Island opening. Perfect date night movie for Valentine's Day.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And if you're looking for it, it's under B for Blumhouse.
That's the title?
That's the title. Blumhouse's Fantasy Island.
Really?
Took a page out of Tyler Perry Presents. Madea Family Christmas, a Madea Family Vacation, blah, blah, blah. I don't like that. I don't like putting your name in the title, and I don't like excessive opening credits. Maybe.
So you didn't like the 90s and the 80s?
Right. Maybe you put the star. I don't mind the little tag at the front that says Universal Pictures Presents, you know, and then it says whatever, Bad Robot or whatever. And then it says starring David Moulton, co-starring whoever.
You think I'd be in a movie without you?
Co-starring Fat Ketchum. And then play the damn movie.
Yeah.
I watched a movie recently, and I don't want to name names, but the title of the film rhymed with rhythm section.
Barney. Oh, sorry.
And first of all, the movie doesn't, you shouldn't want people to know you were involved with that movie.
I'm shocked.
The opening credits go on forever with everybody and their brother listed.
That's because they know no one's going to make it to the end, right?
Anyway, I digress. Blumhouse and Universal Studios will team up for a new film adaptation of The Thing. Based on John W. Campbell Jr.'s recently discovered novel-length manuscript of his original story, Who Goes There? This new film adaptation looks like it's going to be titled Frozen Hell.
Yeah. I think it's called The Thing, colon, Frozen Hell.
Oh, okay. Ooh.
But it's not a sequel or a prequel. It's a remake.
I'm listening.
Yes.
So let me just backtrack a second, because as much as that is a little bit of a pet peeve that Blumhouse had to put their name in front of Fantasy Island, they do make good movies.
I mean, not
every single one. They make some. I'm sure they make some bad movies. If I thought about it, I could find some bad movies. But generally speaking,
when they get it right, they have a niche, and they hit the niche pretty strong.
Yeah. Generally speaking, they know what they're doing, and if they want to make a movie called The Thing, colon, Frozen Hell, I'm on board.
Yeah. Do you want practical effects or a whole different thing? I feel like if they're doing it, they need to go as much their own thing as possible. Like, don't give me any throwbacks to the original thing. Like don't give me, you know, you don't need to do all practical effects because it was in the first thing.
What do you mean? What does that mean, practical effects?
Like puppets and stuff. Like less
as opposed to CGI.
As opposed to CGI. Yeah. Like, because the original was a lot of animatronic and...
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
John Carpenter's, which is great. I mean, stellar. Some of that's so disgusting. And I know that when they made the sequel or whatever, they tried to incorporate some practical effects and some CGI, and it just kind of came a little bit messy. So.
No, I would want CGI, and like you said, you know, do your own thing, start fresh. I don't even know if franchise is the right word, but... There's a story that hasn't been plumbed in quite a while, and time is here. Let's do it.
Yeah. There you go.
It's cool.
All right, Eli Roth.
Speaking of horror.
Yeah.
A guy who knows his way around a good horror movie.
Yeah. Well, he's set to produce Clownpocalypse. I mean, that could just be the news there.
Period. Sit with that for a second.
It's a multimedia event said to encompass a feature film, a video game, a live event, short form series, and merchandise. Though details on the plot are currently under wraps, Philip Gelott from Love, Death, and Robots is attached to write the Clownpocalypse feature film.
No.
Yeah. You know what this said to me? This said to me, someone saw it and was like, well, what can we do next with clowns? They're big now. It was out in Joker.
Listen, if you tell me that you want to make a movie called Clownpocalypse and Eli Roth is on board to produce, great. I think that sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
Good idea. Yes, that's a big thumbs up from Penn. Although, not that anybody cares. But
the rest of the stuff?
Where you lost me is this overreaching, like, You don't need all the other stuff. A multimedia event said to encompass a feature film, video game, live event, short form series, and merchandise. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Make a good movie, and if it's good, all that other stuff will come.
Here's the thing. Like,
what's the thing?
Isn't that just every movie?
Right.
any kind of franchise starting film. Like, isn't that like all of a sudden you got your cartoons, you got your, you know, Netflix spinoff or your comic books. It's like, yeah, like big whoop, make your movie. It's going to do that anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
I can't stand things that try to be too many things. Mm. Like, I hate the calculator wristwatch. Be a watch or a calculator.
How triggered does that get you?
Or like the VCR phonograph.
I wish they were more easily to come by, because next time I'd come in, roll my sleeve up and have like four of them on.
Swatch style. Yeah,
let me just calculate my...
Oh my God. But you know, like, you know, make a good movie. And if it is a good movie...
Then you'll get those other things.
All those other things will come.
Because people like to make money.
Right. Or
I know that's shocking.
Or if you want to go the other route, make a good video game and sell it and be a video game and succeed at that, and somebody will want to make that into a movie.
Right. I mean, look at Sonic. All right. This is the last news we got.
No, it's not.
It's not. Okay, well, this is the last news I got.
All right.
Transformers, you know.
You wish this was the last news we got, because I got a big one.
Oh my gosh.
I got a big one to end the news segment. I'm telling you, I am jacked for this. I am fired up.
Okay. Well, you know I got a soft spot for the Transformers.
Of course, rightly so.
Right. They've done me wrong. They've hurt me.
Well.
Yet I still keep coming back.
Like any love affair.
Yeah. It's like.
Love hurts.
Oh, why don't you have an album?
Every rose has its thorns.
What are we going to come out with? Pens in the podcast greatest hits.
Yes. Add that to the list of projects.
Yeah. So the Transformers, there's two scripts out there. One is said to continue the current Transformers universe in some form, and the other one is supposedly a full reboot. Now, they're both being developed at the same time. There's no words if this is a competition to see which one gets made, or if they're both going to get made, they're both going to get made at the same time, or one after the other, or what.
And so, since you're the real fan here, what do you think about that?
I want a full, like, redo. I'm done with this.
Right.
Bumblebee was okay. But nobody saw it because the last two or whatever were not good before it. So,
first of all, I'm with you. A full, all the way in reboot, great.
Yeah.
Second of all, not that I'm not a fan, I love Transformers. When the first Transformers came out, that was one of my all-time favorite movie-going experiences.
It's so good.
I loved it. So not that I'm not a fan, but if I was a hardcore fan, I would be screaming that both of these scripts are being passed around. Like, first of all, the only thing worse than continuing the current universe is continuing the current universe while working on a reboot.
Yeah.
Talk about what we just talked about a minute ago, like the worst of both worlds. Like, pick one and do it right.
Right.
It's Don't like, try to be a watch and a calculator.
It's like having fantastic Spider-Man movies and making Venom.
No, it's worse.
Whoa.
It's worse, because at least in that scenario, they did it. They picked them and they went.
Did they do it?
All right.
Give me this groundbreaking, earth-shattering, sand-shaking news.
Are you ready?
I'm so ready.
Did you say sand shaking on purpose?
Yeah.
Was that some kind of joke? Well, was that supposed to be funny?
It was a lead in, as they call it in the biz.
Was it a segue?
A segue.
Adam Sandler is reportedly putting his tail between his legs.
What?
We thought he broke through from Netflix. Here's the story that I was sold. The story that I was sold was Adam Sandler is so relieved to be finally done with his Netflix deal, and he's coming back to making theatrical films. And he's so excited, and this is why you should support Uncut Gems.
Right.
Granted, he got snubbed at the Academy.
And then threw a hissy fit.
And threw a hissy fit. What a proper human being should have done is recognized that what he needed to do was stay the course and make another good movie. Instead, he's going back to the easy sugar of Netflix. Come on, man. Come on, man.
Come on.
Killing me.
Man. So how many movies is he doing this time?
Four more.
Four more?
Yeah.
See, you sound surprised.
I am surprised, and I'm mad at myself for being surprised.
I feel like, judging from his response to getting snubbed, that this doesn't surprise me. Because he seems like the type of guy who likes easy, instant gratification. Hence
right.
his Netflix deal and the type of movies he makes that are simple, and he gets lots of money, and he doesn't care if they do good or not. He stuck himself out there, and he said, I'm going to do this movie, Uncut Gems, and I'm going to get all the recognition. And he didn't get any recognition, and he said, well, fine. I don't got anything to prove. I make all this money off of Netflix.
You know who some of my favorite actors are? Ted Danson.
Yeah.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Ted Danson.
Michael Richards. Yeah. Alan Alda. These are all great, incredibly talented TV stars.
Yeah.
And that's what Adam Sandler is.
A great and talented TV star.
And good for you. You want to commit your life, your professional career to more television, then by God, go for it. What he's doing is making two-hour-long sitcoms.
Yeah.
Freestanding independent sitcoms. And if they make more than a dime, he makes a sequel. But it's still making two-hour-long sitcoms.
I like the idea of just that he likes to get paid to go on vacation.
Listen, as a person, I got no problem with it. Like I can see like the upside. Like, great. And the thing that's so funny about it is it's probably the exact same thing I would do. Because I know I'm not smart enough to do like the Joker,
yeah.
You know, or 1917. But I could probably do like some of the, you know, trash that he does.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe not. But if I was in film, I know I would be a lower tier guy like him. And so I don't fault him as a person, but I just find it infuriating as a moviegoer. And I cut the headline, cut and pasted the article, the link to the article, and sent it to my A24 rep. And I said, what happened to he's thrilled to be out of his Netflix relationship and back in theatrical?
Oh, snap. Drama.
I am awaiting.
I want to know what happens.
I am awaiting her reply.
Yeah. I can't wait for her to come back and be like, what are you going to do?
Yeah, that's exactly. First of all, that's exactly what she's going to say, and that's exactly what she should say. Like,
yeah. I don't control it.
Yeah, whatever. Here's our next title that we do have coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's time to move into trailers.
One last piece of news. Penn Cinema All-Star, Jonah Gibson.
Jonah.
And one of our favorite podcast listeners, Kayla Ketchum. Are both in Shrek the Musical at Warwick. Jonah is playing Shrek.
What?
Yeah, so shout out to them for their hard work, though, and all the kids that are in it, but especially Kayla, because we love her.
Do we know who Kayla's playing?
No, and Jonah is playing Shrek. Jonah got the big lead. Yeah, he got the big role.
Do I need to point out that you know who Jonah's playing? You don't know who your daughter's playing.
No, Kayla's playing like a whole bunch of stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right. So she's okay. Not. She didn't get like one of the main characters.
Yeah.
Okay. So she's in like a variety.
She's all the other characters.
Right. Right.
It's a two-man show.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, shout out to Jonah. Congratulations.
Wow. Yeah.
All right. Trailers.
Okay. So we got some trailers. Some all over the bank here, but we're going to start off with...
I would call this a good week for trailers. On balance, I liked every single one of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed.
And I watched in their entirety, every single one of them.
That's impressive.
I mean, that tells you something right there.
Yeah. Let's start off with F9.
Yeah.
The Fast Saga. Just when you thought Fast and the Furious had reached its peak ridiculousness.
Right.
Nah, bro. This trailer is so good. It's like I thought Hobbs and Shaw was over the top ridiculous.
No.
First off, they want us to, one of the most ridiculous parts of this trailer, they want us to believe that John Cena is Vin Diesel's brother.
Right.
To which I'm like, I mean, come on.
Is he though? Is no, he? Here's what I predict. In Fast and Furious 17, it'll turn out they're not brothers.
Was a lie.
Plot twist.
This trailer has, no joke, at least 7 run and push someone down either a flight of steps or out a window, or yeah, like if you run, hit somebody, and then the camera falls with
right.
them.
This trailer is ridiculous in an awesome way.
They have a car goes off the cliff, and then a plane with a magnet flies over it and pulls it up and then flies away. And then another car has to get across a ravine with rope. So it catches the rope in its tire and Tarzan swings from one island to... please, can you get this movie early so I can see it right now? I need to see this movie yesterday. It's killing me. So good. Go see this trailer and let your brain just melt on why, how, who came up with these ideas.
I feel like we've already seen the movie, like in a way.
Yeah. I could just watch this trailer over and over again and
yeah.
be fine.
Yeah. No, it was fun. I'm on board.
All right. So give me another one.
Blumhouse's Fantasy Island got a final trailer.
Mm.
And although I'm nitpicking about the name of the movie, I thought it was pretty cool. I like the yeah. trailer. I'm intrigued. I'll probably watch it.
Yeah, I like... there's a couple new things in this trailer, and one of them is just a line, and it's, you have to see your fantasy out or else.
Right.
And something about the island twists your fantasy to make it wrong, but they added in, like, so one of the things I caught from this is that one of the characters, her fantasy is to get revenge on her high school bully.
Right.
And she thinks she's doing it, and then she realizes that's really her in the other room.
She thinks she's doing it like artificial, like AI.
Yeah.
Sort of like, almost like pretend.
But then she realizes it's the actual girl in the other room that's right. getting that she's tortured.
And that she is actually getting tortured.
Yeah. And so she busts her out. But, and so then it looks like the two of them are teaming up to like, and then they say the line, you have to see your fantasy through, and it shows the island creating an eviler version of the bully
right.
that tries to kill the bully. So it's like now who's who? I don't know. It's interesting.
I think it's weird that they're releasing this movie on Valentine's Day. Although I feel like we've seen horror movies on Valentine's Day before, and that's kind of almost like a funny. It's almost like an icebreaker, like yeah. for all the dating folks. But anyway.
This might be a more established relationship movie.
Right. Yeah. I'm going to go see this movie. I think this looks good.
I think, I'm interested enough that I'd say go see it.
Yeah.
So, all right. Next movie we have, you noted that it comes out on VOD. I couldn't tell, but it was interesting enough. Subject matter of this movie, it's called
Swallow,
is the disease pica? I can never remember. That you get that some women can get while they're pregnant, where they're driven to eat things, usually dirt and detergent, like things that you wouldn't normal, like compulsive. But in this movie, she's swallowing all, like starts with a marble, and then she collects it, and then a thumbtack, and like all these sharp things. And I was like, this is gross. And then they showed them like extracting it out of her, like surgically, like needles, and I was so uncomfortable during this trailer. But I mean, it's probably going to be great in the fact that it'll like make you feel uncomfortable, but I don't think that I could watch it just from those scenes alone. Like, I'm already like, this is pushing me to my limit of like gross out.
I don't know if I could watch it or not. I'm certainly intrigued, and I will say that the movie looks incredibly well made.
Yes.
The acting is incredible. Just what you can see from the trailer, it looks like it's pretty well directed, and obviously the premise is fascinating. I don't know. I feel like it's going to be painful, but I'm probably going to attempt.
Ooh, wow.
If you want to see a crazy trailer,
yeah,
go watch Swallow.
Yeah. It's a pretty good trailer. The movie looks good. It yeah. might not be my cup of tea, but
right.
it looks good. All right. This movie seems like it's timed pretty good since we may be watching The Big Lebowski sometime soon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It's called The Jesus Rolls. And it's a teaser trailer for a movie that follows the character Jesus from The Big Lebowski. We don't know much more than that. The John Tortino, what's his name? Totoro has pushed and made this movie. It's been his like baby. So could be kind of interesting. Could be horrible.
First of all, I can't wait to see this movie. I think this movie, it's a teaser trailer, so it does not give you much to work with. But I love the stylings that they lifted from Big Lebowski.
The trailer looks like something someone made on their computer in the 90s. It's
clearly, you know, from the Lebowski universe, as you yeah. would hope. And the one little detail that I caught on the trailer that I had not been made aware of prior is the inclusion of one Pete Davidson. Saturday Night Live, almost said star, but he's not really a star. He's hardly ever in the sketches. He's on Weekend Update every week to talk about how, you know, I can't believe they didn't get rid of me yet. You know, the dude is hilarious. So he's straight up hilarious, and he must be wicked smart and contribute a lot to that show. But I can't wait to see him in Jesus Rolls. Mm. And even, I was going to say it was my trailer of the week, but I don't think so. I think Swallow has to be my trailer of the week.
Really?
Because it was so...
so disturbing.
So awful.
Yeah. Yeah. Well...
disturbing is the more accurate word. The trailer was brilliant.
Yeah. Can we talk about what I thought was going to be your trailer of the week?
Are you ready, kids?
All right. SpongeBob... The SpongeBob movie, Sponge on the Run.
Who lives in a pineapple under the sea?
SpongeBob SquarePants!
Absorbent and porous and yellow is he.
SpongeBob SquarePants!
I can do the whole thing.
I can't.
I love that show. Yeah.
This looks funny. I mean, it's a kid's movie, but it looks SpongeBob humor funny.
The SpongeBob movie, Sponge on the Run, mm-hmm. is the name of the film.
It is.
It feels funny calling it a film.
Yeah, there's that as well.
It's the name of the TV show that they're releasing, the episode that they're releasing in theaters.
I think it's funny that it's called The SpongeBob Movie when there's been like three already.
I like when they're, the best part of the trailer is at the end when they're driving somewhere in their Cadillac, in their convertible. And SpongeBob says something about, I love your sense of irony.
He's ironing.
And then Patrick's over there ironing. So I'm glad you like my sense of ironing.
I laughed, I think, the most when they were walking into the lost city of Atlanta.
Yeah.
And they're like, how could we ever get to all the lights. Anyway, I think it looks cute. It looks funny. I don't know that I'll see it, but I think.
All right, I want to take it back. Good. I'll take it back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Trailer of the week, F9.
Yeah, that's my trailer of the week.
Clearly.
Hands down.
Yeah.
It's so insane.
I didn't mean to over... I can't... yeah.
What were you thinking?
No, I don't know.
It's about family.
Obviously, I was drunk.
Did you forget that it was about family?
It's about family. His brother comes back, yeah. Blah, bitty, blah.
All right. Okay, so we don't have a movie review this week, but we're going to talk Oscar noms. And what we do is we have a little bit of list here. We're not going to... you know, dissect everything, but we're going to go through the list of the big ones, and we're going to cross off what we think is going to be the winner.
Okay.
Just guesses. I saw it. I think we did pass over that. Do you want to go back to it?
No.
Okay. All right. Let's start it off. Let's start small and then build up. So let's go through. Let's go reverse.
I like that.
All right. Live action short film. We've got Brotherhood, The NAFTA Football Club, the neighbor's window, Saria, and a sister. I didn't see any of these. So this is going to be a full guess. Here's what we're going to do. Let's agree. Let's make this the Penn Cinema ballot, not our personal one.
Okay.
We have to agree, and then we'll see how this fits.
The podcast ballot.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, I like looking at these online so I can judge by the poster.
Yeah.
So we don't even have a poster to guess.
Right.
But I'm going to go out on a limb and say the neighbor's window. Either that or a sister.
Yeah, a neighbor's window sounds like it probably is dramatic.
Probably has something
suspenseful.
To do with like world peace. No, like relations.
Yeah.
Like getting along with your neighbor who looks different than you.
All right, let's cross that one off. I think that's, we know nothing about it. Judging from just the title.
Animated short film. Okay. I'm picking Hair Love. The choices are DeSera, Hair Love, Kit Bull, Memorable, and Sister. Not to be confused with A Sister. The reason why we're picking Hair Love is because Sony, it's a Sony joint. Mm. It's a obviously, they're all animated. And it's a beautiful, touching story about a dad and his daughter. And Oscar voters are still voting in wake of the Kobe death.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Sony made a big push. They released it in front of all Jumanji this week. And I also released it in front of Little Women.
Okay.
So I think this movie's going to get, I think Hair Love is a pretty good pick.
Okay.
I don't think it's a wild guess.
Visual effects. We have Avengers Endgame, The Lion King, 1917, The Irishman, Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker. I can't even get the name right. Oh my
god. Maybe
gosh.
If you'd seen the. Oh, wait. Sorry.
Wait, what? Geez, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you look at something like this and it's like you rule out Lion King and 1917 and The Irishman. I mean, Irishman got a lot of press for their de-aging or whatever like that.
Yeah.
So maybe you leave The Irishman in there. I think it's between Endgame and Star Wars.
Well, here's my question. What is visual effects? Is it like, because there's cinematography. Visual effects is like special effects, right?
Right.
Okay. So right.
So 1917 is a lock for cinematography.
Right. So let's cut that out of visual effects.
Okay.
The Lion King is fantastic, but
nobody in the Academy is going to vote for Lion King.
Okay. So you don't think I think it goes to Endgame.
Okay.
Because Star Wars, it feels like more of the same.
Mm-hmm.
And right. And Avengers Endgame, there were so many characters on the screen
now,
doing so many things.
Okay, so let me just put this out there for a quick second. What if I'm wrong about Lion King? Because they did have all, it was basically live action animals.
That's true.
And they did get a lot of press for it.
Oh, you know what? I bet Lion King gets it.
Yeah. Especially since I said there's no way.
All the hairs on the animals.
Yeah.
I think we got to go with Lion King. All right,
Lion King it is. Sound mixing. 1917, Joker, Ford, Once Upon a Time, or Ad Astra.
This is different from sound editing in how, in what way?
Nobody knows. I think a lot of there's two ways of looking at this. I think a lot of times you see the same people get both awards. Mm. And then I feel like in that scenario is when you have something where there was a clear, like, somebody really moved the needle with regards to sound. And then another way of looking at it is you give one to one title and one to another title when voters want to spread out the love.
See, I don't know which one goes. All right. Ad Astra had some pretty powerful audio cues in it. That's basically all it had in it. I don't know. Okay, I just watched 1917 again, and I don't know where to put it in. But they're having watched it again. The audio in that movie moves you so strongly. And I don't know if it has to do with the soundtrack or if it has to do with the sound effects.
Here's what I think.
Or combination.
Here's what I think. Mm. I think the Academy is head over heels in love with 1917.
Mm.
They're not going to give it Best Picture. We'll talk about that in a little while. So I think we should guess sound editing and mixing goes to 1917.
Okay. All right. Now, in sound editing, it went up against Joker, Ford vs. Ferrari, Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker, and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Yeah, again, I don't even know why Joker's in there. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Film editing: The Irishman, Parasite, Joker, Yo-Yo Rabbit, and Ford v. Ferrari. Film editing, I don't know.
I really feel like maybe Jojo Rabbit.
Mm.
It had a lot of like cutaways to like his goofy imagination and stuff, and just like the slicing of that into the real world. I'm totally guessing on if that's the correct way to put to vote for this thing, but I think it goes to Jojo Rabbit.
So last year we didn't do a great job with our Oscar picks because neither one of us had seen a lot of the movies.
Yeah.
So this year we're a little more informed.
Mm-hmm.
Our goal for next year, for episode 105,
this would be less informed.
will be to learn about what goes into these categories.
Yes.
For next year.
Okay.
Okay. Cinematography clearly goes to 1917.
Yeah, and it's going up against Joker, The Lighthouse, The Irishman, and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. The only thing, I would have thought that if it wasn't 1917, it would have to go to The Lighthouse.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Lighthouse is a solid runner-up.
Right, yeah.
Production design, Parasite, 1917, The Irishman, Yo-Yo Rabbit, and Once Upon a Time, in Hollywood.
What does this mean? Production design.
I don't know, but I think it goes to Parasite or Jojo Rabbit. And the reason why I say that, just because both of those are sort of, well, that's not really true. I don't know. You got an opinion on this? I'm kind of leaning towards Parasite. And the reason why I say Parasite is I think about that scene where they run back to the apartment and it's flooding.
Mm-hmm.
And like, the mom and dad are trying to desperately grab their stuff, and the girl's like, what, sitting up on top of a toilet or something, having a smoke, and like,
ugh.
It's just heartbreaking.
Yeah. I think I would go with Parasite as well, just like, yeah.
Okay. I'm
guessing as to what, if that's the correct way to categorize that.
Right.
All right, makeup and hairstyle. We got Joker, Bombshell, Judy, 1917, and Maleficent, Mistress of Evil, which I didn't see. I mean, I almost feel like Bombshell's going to win because it's the most, like, realistic hair, maybe? I don't know.
I disagree.
No.
I think Joker.
Really? And
the reason why I say that is because the Academy was in love with this movie. The whole world was in love with this movie. It's probably not going to win Best Picture or Best Director. It might. But
he has some fantastic hair.
He has some incredible makeup. And those scenes where he's wiping it and he's painting his tongue. And
oh, I didn't think of that. I was just thinking purely hair. Yeah, you're right.
And
I think Joker.
Like De Niro.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Documentary short. In the Absence, Life Overtakes Me, St. Louis Superman, Walk, Run, Cha-Cha, Learning to Skateboard in a War Zone, If You're a Girl. I don't know any of these. So it's a walk. It's definitely a guess.
Learning to skateboard in a war zone.
Sounds like it's moving.
Okay. Let's documentary. American Factory, The Edge of Democracy, Honeyland, For Sama, and The Cave. My money's on Honeyland.
Yeah?
And the only reason why I say that is because it's the only one I've heard of.
Okay.
Have you heard of any of the others?
No. And I thought The Cave was that one, but then I remember I saw it. I thought The Cave was that one that was at that hospital. Remember we saw the trailer?
Oh, yeah.
But it was like something else.
Yeah.
But.
Original score, 1917, Joker, Little Women, Marriage Story, or Star Wars? I've not yet seen Marriage Story. I'm anxious to see that before the Oscars.
So I know Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker got like Grammy stuff. But having seen 1917... Again, I got to go with that. I got to go with 1917. The scoring of 1917 with the like how it moves the pacing of the movie, I think really is a lot of what makes that film.
Yeah. So. Okay. Original song, I'm Standing With You, Into the Unknown, Stand Up, I'm Gonna Love Me Again, I Can't Let You Throw Yourself Away.
Been nice if we knew what movies were from. I don't know any of these. Which one was from Frozen?
Let's pick stand up.
Okay.
Costume design. Once upon a time, .. in Hollywood. Because God forbid Tarantino just have a regular movie title.
Right.
Little Women, The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, and Joker for costume design.
This is a big toss for me between Little Women and Jojo Rabbit.
I think it's Little Women because they feel bad about snubbing her.
Yeah, I could see it going to Little Women. Usually the classical...
Right, period movies, pieces.
Period pieces. Original screenplay, Marriage Story, Once Upon a Time, Ellipsis in Hollywood, Parasite, Knives Out, and 1917.
So I have a question. Podcast at PennCinema.com. Amy and I came across an article that kids these days...
Oh, the youngins?
Don't appreciate it when you use an ellipsis in your texting. Have you ever heard that?
That they don't appreciate it?
Like it's aggressive.
They don't know what it means.
No, I don't think that's it.
You don't think?
They might not know what the word ellipsis is, but if you send them a text like, hey, are you going to be at the store, .. can you pick up some bananas?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I've never experienced it.
It's funny because I'm a big fan of the .. But ever since I heard this, I no longer do the ..
I thought an ellipsis was more of like a trail of thought. Like,
that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Original screenplay, Marriage Story, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Parasite, Knives Out, or 1917. Oh, this is a toughie.
Yeah.
I this is all over the place for me. I kind of want to guess Knives Out just because...
But yeah, that's what I was kind of leading to. I think Knives Out gets it.
It's Knives Out or Marriage Story?
Since we haven't seen Marriage Story, I think we got to go with Knives Out.
Okay.
All right. Foreign language film, Parasite, Pain and Glory, Honeyland, Corpus Christi, or Les Miserables.
Can I just say, going back to screenplay, I think Parasite's a solid runner-up.
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
Foreign language film goes to Parasite.
Easy?
You think? I think that's easy.
All right.
I think Parasite is going to crush.
Even if it gets Best Picture?
Yes.
Okay. Animated feature film, Toy Story 4, I Lost My Body, Klaus, Missing Link, How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World.
Missing Link, right? Did you see it?
I did.
Yeah. It's great.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
I don't know. I felt like Missing Link, like Toy Story 4 was great, Dragon was great, and I didn't see the other two.
Missing Link was original.
I just felt like it was fresh.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
All right.
Okay. Supporting actress. We have Kathy Bates for Richard Jewell, Laura Dern for Marriage Story, Scarlett Johansson for Jojo Rabbit, Florence Plough for Little Women, and Margot Robbie for Bombshell. I'm going with Florence Plough.
Okay.
You think so?
I was going to lean towards Laura Dern because I feel like she's having a moment.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I feel like she's sort of...
From this
moment. That's the best way to put it. Like, I feel like she's having a moment. Mm. I feel like she's... Her brand is at the top of its game. And... But I'm fine. I also agree Florence is a solid pick because, you know, she was amazing in Little Women. You want to just go that route?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's go with that. All right. Get the next one.
Supporting actor, Anthony Hopkins for his incredible performance in The Two Popes. Al Pacino for his amazing performance in The Irishman. Joe Pesci for his performance in The Irishman. Brad Pitt for his performance in Once Upon a Time. And Tom Hanks for his performance in A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. I think it's between Hopkins and Al Pacino. I think those two performances were...
I would have put it between Pitt and Hanks.
Really?
Yeah.
Brad Pitt?
Well, I think they just love... I mean,
that's
it's
true.
Time for Tarantino. Like, Tarantino's got to get some love somewhere here.
Okay.
But they love Tom Hanks.
I'm going to veto Tom Hanks, and I'll tell you why. Right. I agree that everybody loves him. I love him. We just watched Forrest Gump last night. The guy's amazing. I don't think his performance in Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood was otherworldly. Like, I don't think it was... it didn't blow me away. It was a great movie, and he was great in it. I'm not trying to say anything bad about him. He certainly deserves to be on the list of nominees. But I'm just saying, I don't think he's amazing. I think there's... I'll agree to go with Brad Pitt, but I'm going to secretly, like, my ballot, my personal ballot, I think went to Pacino. I'm pretty sure I put him down as Pacino.
Why Pacino above Pitt?
Because of the incredible fuss that was made over The Irishman, and I think Pacino's performance in The Irishman was the best of the movie.
All right, let's go with Al Pacino then.
All right.
Adapted screenplay. We have The Irishman.
I feel bad for Pacino because now that we picked him, definitely Brad Pitt's going to win.
Yeah, I know. These are all going to be our seconds. Adapted screenplay. We have The Irishman, Joker, Little Women, The Two Popes, or Jojo Rabbit.
Oh, that's a toughie.
How does Irishman live up to the book? That's a good way to check.
I didn't think it did live up to the book.
Okay.
I thought the book was way better. I don't usually say that. I usually make fun of people who say that.
I didn't see The Two Popes.
You should.
I feel like it might be between Little Women and Joker. Not seen The Two Popes, I don't know.
What are we saying? Joker's based on a book?
No, I was just using that because we don't know what the screenplays looked like.
No, I'm saying it's in this category if it's adapted.
It was adapted from something, from source material, I guess.
Oh, okay. So it doesn't have to be a book. It could be comics.
Or something, I guess. Yeah,
I gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. I think we should go with Joker.
Okay.
And I think Little Women, that was such a good movie. I just loved that movie.
Yeah. Well, we're getting to the big four categories here.
Here we go, the big four.
All right.
Oh, it gets harder.
Yeah. Actress, we have Cynthia Erivo for Harriet, which I didn't get a chance to see. Scarlett Johansson for Marriage Story. Saoirse Ronan for Little Women. Renee Zellweger for Judy. And Charlize Theron for Bombshell.
I think Renee Zellweger.
Yeah. No, I think we said this even from the trailer. Did you see Judy? No. I didn't either. But I remember we were watching the trailer and we were both like, Oscars.
You didn't see Judy?
No.
Remember how excited you were when it came out?
I know. And I didn't get a chance to see it.
Remember I made fun of you because you were like, she looks exactly like Judy Garland. And I was like, who the hell knows what Judy Garland looks like?
So Renee Zellweger wins just for my, just because.
I think we have to pick Renee because of your reaction to the trailer. But my additional theory is that when Judy came out, people loved it. And all people talked about was her performance in it.
I could see that.
And like we've said in a lot of other, I think it's between her and Saoirse Ronan.
I don't know if anyone told you this, but she looks just like Judy Garland.
All right. I will read the categories for Best Actor. Antonio Banderas McLaughlin for Pain and Glory. Adam Driver for Marriage Story. Joaquin Phoenix for Joker. Jonathan Pryce for The Two Popes. Who did he play? I guess he played the younger Pope. I thought the younger Pope was somebody more famous. I'm forgetting that. And LDC for Once Upon a Time, Eclipse Me in Hollywood. I'm a little... Okay, here, let me just talk through my logic. I think our pick should be Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
But I think there's a pretty good chance Adam Driver wins.
Really?
I want to pick Joaquin Phoenix, but Adam Driver, like Laura Dern, is having a moment... And his performance in everything he's done this year has been off the charts.
Wow. I think the clear winner should be Joker, but I bet you're right.
Okay, so we're picking Joaquin Phoenix. Yeah. But I want to say I think Adam Driver and Leonardo DiCaprio are solid second place. And then I'll go to my third tier and say that I would love to see Antonio Banderas McLaughlin win an Academy Award.
Where's the McLaughlin come from?
Didn't we talk about this?
I don't we did. I don't remember. I don't want to wait.
Right. So shout out to my boy, Bob McLaughlin.
Uh-huh.
Otherwise known as Bob O.
Bob O. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And so when we were in college, he was one of my roommates. Mm-hmm. And when we were in college, we were talking about, you know, families and stuff like that. And somehow the topic of Antonio Banderas came up. And he said, if I ever have a son, I'm going to name him Antonio Banderas.
McLaughlin.
Yeah. So that's why I call him Antonio Banderas McLaughlin.
All right. All right, directing.
Yes.
The Irishman, Joker, 1917, Parasite, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah.
I know you're going to say The Irishman.
No, I'm not.
No.
I'm not.
Okay.
And I'm not going to say Quentin Tarantino.
Right.
So we're down to three.
I feel it's got to be 1917.
I do too.
Because that directing a continuous shot movie like this, insanely difficult.
I think that I agree 100%. And just to say what you said differently, the directing in Joker was incredible. But there was nothing in that movie that hasn't been done. He just did it better. He just did it better.
Yeah.
In 1917, we've never seen a movie like that.
Yeah.
And I think that holds a lot.
Right.
And I will also say that the directing in Parasite was similar to Joker in the sense that it was amazing, but it was just...
It's nothing new.
It was... They did the same thing everyone else does. They just did it better.
Right.
Whereas 1917, I think you could use the word groundbreaking or at least unique.
Yeah, okay. For sure.
Okay. So here we are. Best Picture.
Okay.
Whew. All of these movies were... Well, the only one we haven't seen is Marriage Story.
Right.
But I think we can all agree that's not going to get Best Picture.
This is crazy compared to last year. How right. We didn't see any.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
So first of all, Marriage Story is not going to get Best Picture. First of all, because it's a TV show.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And second of all, because it wasn't as good as the other movies. So the nominees for Best Picture, leaving out Marriage Story, Ford v. Ferrari, The Irishman, Yo-Yo Rabbit, Joker, Little Women, 1917, Parasite, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. So I think you start by crossing off Marriage Story and Ford versus Ferrari.
Yeah, I don't know why it's nominated for so much. Okay.
I think you also cross out The Irishman.
Yeah, I agree with that too.
Not that I didn't love it. I did.
But no, Scorsese never wins.
Right. I think you also cross out Tarantino. Mm-hmm. Not that I didn't love it. And by the way, if anyone listening to the show Local to Lititz, Once Upon a Time on Hollywood is still playing, but will probably not be playing starting on the 7th. So in other words, this coming Friday.
Okay.
All right, so we're down to Jojo Rabbit, Joker, Little Women, 1917, and Parasite. I think you can cross off Jojo Rabbit and Little Women.
Yeah. So it's really Joker, 1917, and Parasite.
I think it goes to Parasite.
I think it goes to Parasite. I really do. Parasite was on so many at our live show, so many right. people's top stuff.
Right.
1917 is amazing. Joker was great, but Parasite was...
To me, the difference, what makes this my top vote for Best Picture is... Now, granted, we were just talking about Best Director, and I said maybe 1917 was groundbreaking or at least unique and blah, blah, blah. That's true. But when you're looking at Best Picture, you have to look at the total picture, including what the movie says, how it connects with audiences
yeah.
and how it's relevant to these days that we're living in. And I think that Parasite checks all the boxes as interesting, entertaining, relevant, incredibly well done. So that's my thought process.
Yeah, I think that it's Joker was very niche in some ways as to like the audience that even though it's great, it didn't need to be a superhero movie. I think it still was in a niche. 1917, I also, it's a war movie. But Parasite's a very human movie.
Yeah.
You know, very social issue, very current.
Right.
So.
Okay.
Cool. Those are our Oscar noms. We'll see how we did in 2 weeks after the Oscars have aired.
And if you are not hip to this yet, Penn Cinema is running an Oscar contest.
Say what?
We gave you the wrong link last week.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna say why.
Yeah, but it happened.
It happened.
PennCinema.com/Oscars to enter, and it's a $100 gift card to the movie theaters.
Right.
If you get the most correct Oscar noms.
Yeah, and I'll have to check the rules. I think what we're doing is if there's a tie, like if a whole bunch of people get, I think then we're doing like random drawings, maybe one for each location type of thing.
Okay.
But yeah, we'll work that out. We'll make sure it's fair. We'll make sure it's on the up and up.
Very cool.
But you can't win if you don't play.
That's right.
And side note, we will post the podcast, the official podcast results, which we just listed. We'll post those so you can also play along and see if you beat us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, good luck.
I mean, we talk about movies every week. How long do you talk about movies?
What's up?
Come on. All right, listener.
All right, listener notes.
Yeah.
Joel Codes wrote in. He had a question for me about outside food.
Yeah.
Now, this morning right before the show, I went downstairs, as I always do, and poured myself a coffee right before the show.
In the nice, newly redone...
In the nice, refreshed lobby.
Yeah.
And as I'm pouring my coffee, I watch this family of four walk in. And here they are again. Mom's got the gigantic purse like she's going away for the weekend.
I like how you make it sound like it's the same people every time.
She's got two water bottles hanging off her, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
That doesn't bother me that much. And the reason why this particular family didn't bother me that much is because she also then went to the concession stand and bought all kinds of stuff for her kids. Yeah. And that's always my big rule. Like, if you're buying stuff at the concession stand, it irritates me less, you know, when you sneak stuff in. So Joel's question was, what is it about people bringing in food that you don't like? Would you be offended if someone brought in something you don't sell? Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's funny because from a money point of view, it's not that big of a deal. It's not about, you know, oh, I need to make another $4 from that customer. To me, it's disrespectful. To me, I don't go to a museum and bring my own hoagies. I don't go to Fulton Theater and bring a hamburger. Yeah. You know, you're going to an establishment, a place of business, and you either eat first or you buy what they're selling. And if you don't like what they're selling, you should tell them, like, hey, I really wish you offered more white cheddar puff popcorns, you know, or whatever, which, by the way, we've tried in the past. But, you know, whatever. I just feel it's disrespectful. It bothers me from a respect, decency point of view, not so much from a financial point of view. And it doesn't really bother me when people sneak in waters. It's a little annoying, but it's like, whatever, I get it. Like, that to me... Again, using the museum, I would never bring my own water in to see a show at the Fulton. But if I was going to go visit a museum and see a beautiful display, I might carry my own water, even though they sell waters at their snack bar.
Right.
So that's what it is. It's not about money. It's not greed. It's not that. To me, you go to a place of business, you either buy what they're selling or you don't. I'm not saying everybody should buy popcorn. I know it's expensive. But that's my position.
Hmm. He also noted that we don't give Apple a good Apple TV any love, but that it apparently is doing well.
Yeah.
For what they have. They don't have a catalog, but the stuff they have is.
This
doing
caused
well.
Me to rethink my opinion on Apple Plus.
This caused me to not care anymore than I did before. It's all those shows are only doing well because there's nothing else on there to watch. Take that into note. I don't know. I'm just kidding. I just don't care. The Shadow wrote in to confirm he is listening in Ireland. And he also said he saw the lighthouse, which was one trippy, crazy ride. So thanks for letting us know, Shadow, about what's going on. I just heard that he's into some play or something over there. He's not only over there studying. He's like making the arts happen.
What's the expression? Trotting the boards?
Sure.
I think that's a thing.
Yeah.
Let us know.
Podcast at PennCinema.com.
There's a thing about that.
Yeah. I don't know.
That like hoity-toity actors say like, oh, has he trotted the boards? Something like that.
We're going to have to, the Shadow will have to let us know. Yeah, now
it's a theatrical term.
International actor.
Yeah. And there's also the scene in Mrs. Maisel when Susie's trying to recruit the uppity actor to join her. Mm-hmm. And he says something to her about trotting the boards.
Oh, are you watching that show?
Mrs. Maisel, have I mentioned it?
No, I don't think you brought it up before. All right, Pirate Dave who?
Pirate who? What now?
Huh? Where's he been?
Okay.
Yeah.
You ready for my big
item? Please.
All right, here we go.
This is our first handwritten, authentic, not written by us letter.
All right, I received this letter in the mail.
Yes.
Handwritten, addressed to Penn Cinema, and then it looks like after they addressed it to Penn Cinema, they quick added Mr. Penn.
That's awesome.
to make sure it doesn't end up in the wrong hands,
right.
Which I really appreciate. Dear Mr. Penn, my name is Connor. I am 14 years old. Since I was a young child. All right, we need to pause there. There's nothing better than when a 14-year-old refers to back when he was a kid.
So long ago.
Right. Oh, that was many years ago when I was just a pup. All right, Connor. All right. Dear Mr. Penn, my name is Connor. I am 14 years old. Since I was a young child, I have always been interested in film. I love Star Wars. Parentheses, the originals, of course. Some friend of yours, David?
Yeah.
Right.
We're pretty tight.
Right. I love Star Wars, the originals, of course. And most of all, Indiana Jones.
Oh, nice.
We don't hear a lot about Indiana Jones. No. I love it.
That's pretty cool.
My favorite movie of all time is Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Very cool.
Love that movie. This may be a strange request, comma. But I mentioned the comma. Because I'm impressed, this whole letter, which we're going to talk about, I want to talk about the paper in a minute.
Yeah.
But the whole letter is very grammatically correct. The penmanship is spot on, easy to read, correct punctuation and grammar throughout, which I really appreciate.
Cool. Very cool.
And respect you, Connor, for doing that. This may be a strange request, comma, but I was wondering if you could run an Indiana Jones marathon sometime. If you can't do so, comma, I fully understand. Thanks for your time from your fan, Connor.
What's up, Connor?
What's up, Connor?
Whoa.
We don't hear a lot about Indiana Jones.
No.
Oh, so the comment I wanted to make about the paper, David can see, it's not a full-on piece of paper.
No, you cut the letter out. You don't need to see the rest of this. Right.
I almost feel like maybe he only had one sheet, and he used like the first two-thirds of the sheet
he's
for gotta drafts.
He's got to write other movie theaters.
He's got to write other people. I should like post something in the National Association of Theater Owners and see how many people heard from my boy Connor. Although he does have a local address, so I'm sure.
But not only is it cut to fit the letter, it is also almost perfectly sized for the envelope.
Right.
Too.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's just by chance.
I'm going to look into it. I'm going to look into an Indiana Jones marathon, okay. And I'm going to personally invite Connor to join us for
nice.
That. I think that would be a ton of fun.
Very cool.
All right, real quick. What are we watching and reading, David?
Well, I saw 1917 again in IMAX, which was great. And I watched the first two episodes of Picard, the new Star Trek series, which I'm still on the fence about. Let's just leave it at that.
Okay.
How about you?
Well, I mentioned Mrs. Maisel.
Did you? I don't think that. Nah.
Amy and I finally finished season 3, and it was like heartbreaking because there's not season 4 till December.
Ugh.
So now we're going to have to like, so what we're going to do, we're going to go all the way back to season 1 and start episode 1 again.
You gotta.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I am by myself working my way through The Crown, which
nice.
I'm really enjoying.
You're great things.
There's no swearing. There's no nudity. There's no car chases. There's nothing blows up. But I am in love with this movie. It's just beautiful and fascinating. And I think the thing that I find most fascinating about it is that it is generally speaking based on history.
Nice.
So it's really interesting.
I've heard some great stuff.
It is remarkable. Kayla and the fam and I watched Forrest Gump. Remember last summer, me and Kayla watched a bunch of John Hughes movies?
Yeah.
I think last week on the show, you talked about all the films Robert Zemeckis has made.
Yeah.
I think me and Kayla are going to start watching a Zemeckis marathon. Yeah.
Very cool.
She didn't love Forrest Gump because, as you may recall, it's not, even though it has some of the funniest one-liners to repeat.
It's not a funny movie.
It's not a funny movie.
No.
It's a Jenny, she doesn't make it to the end credits.
Jenny.
I'm not a smart man, Jenny, but I know what love is.
And you love the rhythm section?
I watched the rhythm section. Let me clarify. I watched the first 25 minutes of the rhythm section, and then I thought of something better to do.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was surprised you were so hyped for this movie, because I was like, how is this not on VOD?
That's the perfect way to summarize. This movie should have been I should have been watching this at home while I was folding laundry.
Right. You fold a lot of laundry.
I do.
All right, what are we doing next week?
Oof, next week, Birds of Prey.
Oh, is that really? Really?
Yeah, or the fabulous emancipation of one
Harley Quinn,
something like that.
All right.
I might have put the word fabulous in the wrong location there.
The fabulous emancipation.
No, I think it's the emancipation of the fabulous Harley. No, I have no idea what I'm talking about. Birds of Prey.
Birds of Prey.
Opens next week. I'm super excited.
Awesome. Okay, well, that brings us to the end. If you want to get in touch with us, the best way to do that is podcast@penncinema.com. AKA, where in the world is Pirate Dave? You can also write us or leave comments on our Facebook page, Facebook.
I hope he's not dead.
Penn Cinema. Yeah.
Because I'm going to feel like a real shithead if I'm like at his funeral going, oh, I was just making fun of him at our last show.
At this rate, the funeral might have already happened. we weren't invited. Have you thought about that? Oh, man.
It's awkward.
Yeah. All right. So once again, for the Penn Cinema Podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
Take care
and party on.
's for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.